Good morning, my friends. Today we're going to continue in our series in the Gospel of John from John chapter 15. And last week I bit off more than I could chew or any of us could chew. And so we're reflecting on the last section of verses that was read last week. The first section, if these are to be kind of broadly or distinctly categorized, the first section really emphasizes the vine metaphor and image. And that's not completely lost, but it sort of fades to the back while this other image comes forward. And that's the image of friendship. And so let me read for you the word of the Lord from verse 9. Through verse 17. John 15, 9 through 17. And please hear the word of the Lord. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. Just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends, if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, so that you will love one another. This is the word of the Lord. Are we heading for a recession? It's got to happen sometime, right? I mean, that's how it works. Well, according to several studies, that's a trap. According to several studies done by groups like the Survey Center on American Life, we are already in one. No, not the type of recession that makes you wish you had invested in a gold IRA. But rather, what has been dubbed sometimes, the friendship recession. So here is just a little bit from the Survey Center on American Life. An article that pulled together some of their data talked about the state of American friendship, change, challenge, and loss. So here was the opening. Coming out of a once-in-a-generation global pandemic, Americans appear more attuned than ever to the importance of friendship. It's great news, isn't it? More attuned. However, despite renewed interest in the topic of friendship in popular culture and the news media, signs suggest that the role of friends in American social life is experiencing a pronounced decline. The May 2021 American Perspective Survey finds that Americans report having fewer close friendships than they once did, talking to their friends less often, and relying less on their friends for personal support. Now, one thing you might have noticed is this is ages ago, the way our world is moving so fast. This was 2021. I mean, how can this even be a point of reference or evidence? That was 3 years ago, which feels like it was three centuries ago. Still, I think there's something there. Here are just a few interesting, they're interesting to me. Maybe they won't be interesting to you, but you can read the article and see if there is something interesting. Here are the ones that stuck out to me. Young women were the most likely group to report losing touch with friends. Now, my brain would have immediately tried to make sense of that, and I would have said, okay, well, young women, a lot of them were having to sacrifice friendships to stay home with their kids through the pandemic and all that. However, the young woman age bracket here is 18 to 29. And if you know when people are having children in this country, it's not until after then. The average is probably 30 or beyond at this point. And so that wouldn't be the reason. I don't know the reason. Another interesting bit, seeing as someone mentioned an election, talking about politics' effect on friendship. They said this, a majority, 53% of Republicans, say they have at least some friends who are Democrats. That number might seem a little low to you. 53% say they have at least some friends who are Democrats. But there's a lower number. In contrast, less than one-third, 32% of Democrats say they have at least some Republican friends. Now bear in mind, this is all self-reporting. Okay, so this is people answering surveys about their own friendships. They continued, no group is more likely to end a friendship over politics than liberal women are. 33% say they stopped being friends with someone because of their politics. Here's one for the guys. Young men rely on parents, so again, 18 to 29, rely more on parents for personal support than either friends or spouses. Some of you parents are like, yeah, I know. But there's a lot that goes into that. So just as we want to pray for young women, we want to pray for young men, and certainly pray for their parents. And then men at large, men receive much less emotional support from their friends than their female peers. Now this just shocked me. Let me continue. They said, compared to men, women more regularly tell their friends they love them. Can you believe that, Joe? I mean, can that be true? Women twice as much tell their friends that they love them? About half of women say they have told a friend they love them within the past week. Only a quarter of men have done it. And lest we think, you know, the older men think, yeah, but those younger generations, they're getting soft. They probably tell everyone that they love them. No, it's not true. They said there are no generational differences, meaning younger men are no more likely than older men to have shared their personal feelings with a friend. So men, the statistics are against us in a few ways here. We too need emotional support and spiritual kinship. Now don't worry. We don't have to talk about our feelings now. We don't even have to do it Saturday. But be mindful. This Saturday, we have a men's day. That may be a good opportunity to begin addressing our need. And because apparently we don't say I love you enough, men, Steve, Mitch, Jonathan, Rodney, the other ones I'm not so sure about. No, I can't go through all of you. I love you guys. But my love pales in comparison to your Lord's, your Savior's, your, can you receive this? Your friends. Is it safe to approach God that way? We're talking about the God of the universe We are comfortable talking with about him as Lord. He's our boss, as our Savior. We're miserable sinners. Can we even begin to approach him? As a friend? That's pretty wild. Last week, we reflected on the vine imagery, which certainly suggested the possibility of and encouraged the pursuit of an intimate union with Jesus. All this language of abiding, 11 times. Now the language shifts from that of agriculture to that of friendship, of deep personal connection at a very human level. Let us consider for a moment how much weight it carries when God calls someone a friend. I've certainly called people a friend and had others refer to me as a friend, and that has not always carried that much weight. Sometimes I've been rather lax with that word, and others to me have been rather lax with it. And we have shown ourselves to be actually not very good friends, maybe not friends at all. But God is careful. The scriptures make this clear. God is always careful with his language. He does not loosey-goosey throw out terms. And yet he looked at his disciples, these disciples, and called them friends. And through them, if you can receive it, even us. Facebook has trained us to see friends as a matter of performance. It's a number we amass and publish to others, regardless of real connection. Let's let Jesus remind us this morning of what true friendship looks like. And then consider, are we his friend? Are you his friend? Immediately, we might feel when we approach this, especially as someone's trying to apply it to us, we might be somewhat comfortable with this being applied to the disciples. After all, that's who he was talking to, right? He was talking to them. Maybe that's as far as we take the application. Wasn't that nice for them? They're friends of God. We are whatever. Something downstream. But at least those guys were friends of God. There are a number of challenges to us conceiving of friendship with God. Maybe the first would be the inequality. When most people talk about friendship, at least in our modern, or if you will, postmodern era, when most people talk about friendship, they assume as like part of the support structure of the possibility of friendship is equality. There has to be I don't see the point of adding a word to that. That word is sufficient. There has to be equality. You have to be on rather equal footing. That's kind of a given assumption that we have about friendship. However, speaking in his context 2,000 years ago, that wasn't necessarily an assumption. So one commentator says this. This is a commentary that's focused on the culture of the time. And speaking of Roman ideals of friendship, which tended to emphasize loyalty and sharing, said this, friendship could signify a relationship of dependence or of equality, of impersonal alliances or of personal bonds of affections. One of the most common usages of friendship in the literary sources refer to political dependence on a royal patron. So it's like in that sense of being a friend to the king. And we actually see that type of friendship model in John. In John 19, when the crowds are trying to convince Pilate to crucify Jesus, and Pilate is of the mind to release Jesus, What do they use as leverage? They say, aren't you a friend of Caesar? You can't be friends with Caesar if you're making a case for a competing king. And Jesus claims to be a king. So they appeal to that kind of friendship. It's not the friendship of equality. It's the friendship of this patron relationship. Are you friends with that king? And maybe that in part is a correct way to conceive of this use. Because when, obviously, you know, if Pilate was in any way inferior to his superior, how much more inferior are we when we're thinking about the God of the universe? Right? Maybe that's an appropriate model. We consider, are we friends of the king? And yet that doesn't encapsulate the whole thing, does it? Because the language that's used here is not that of political allegiance, though the idea of allegiance and loyalty is there. The language is that of deep intimacy. Of a friendship that endues some type of trust in the other, of a deep sharing, of a reciprocal relationship. That's more like the friendship we see that John the Baptist described in his own heart. When John the Baptist talks about Jesus, he talks about himself as what? The friend of the bridegroom. John seemed to know something before Jesus even revealed this here to his disciples. The possibility, the plausibility of friendship with God through the Son of God. John the Baptist clung to that. I am a friend of the bridegroom. But again, the fact of our inequality makes friendship seem unrealistic, unattainable, maybe even inappropriate. The other thing that might present a challenge to us of the idea of friendship with God is, where do we have a model for this? Where's the pattern? It's not like this language is rife throughout Scripture. If you're looking for an Old Testament example to base Jesus' language on, it's rather scarce. How many people are explicitly, I'm not saying they're the only ones who were, but how many people are explicitly referred to as God's friend, as a friend of God in the Old Testament? How many? Don's got one. Well, you're saying one. I know you're not saying it's only one. Bill's got two, and Bill's right. I didn't know this. I had to Google it. Good for you, Bill. It's like a walking Google over there. A Bible Google. I'm not going to try to combine those words. Two friends, Moses and Abraham. So when you're thinking, can I really be God's friend? And you're hesitating a bit at taking ownership of that. There's actually quite good reason for that pause. In the Old Testament, we only see that happening twice, and those guys are kind of a big deal. Moses and Abraham. Not sure if we feel up to the task of walking in their shoes and so being called a friend of God. Exodus 33:11, that's the reference point for Moses' friendship. Thus the Lord used to speak to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend. There he doesn't even necessarily call him his friend. He just uses it as a metaphor, as a man speaks to his friend. But that's the one. And then the other, Abraham, it shows up a number of times, specifically in 2 Chronicles 20:7. Did you not, our God, drive out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and give it forever to the descendants of Abraham, your friend? There the people of Israel are appealing to God for restoration. And they don't claim friendship with God, but they appeal to their forebear, who they said, he was your friend. Isaiah 41:8 says it already, and it distinguishes between sort of the servant, which is Israel at large of God, and the friend of God. But you, Israel, if I didn't give the reference, Isaiah 41:8, but you, Israel, my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, the offspring of Abraham, my friend. So that's God saying it. So there are good reasons to be a little bit uncertain about how we want to claim ownership of this. We might just want to, again, put a perimeter around the disciples and say Jesus told them they were friends. But when we're applying scripture, we need to look at the manner in which what was true about them who were spoken to might be or might not be true about us. So we need to look at what aspects of the relationship were there that Christ would be able to call them friends. What aspects of the relationship were there? And then we can look to our relationship with God, and we can say, are those aspects there in my relationship to God? Okay? So that's what we're going to try to do. And as we do this, we're going to focus more on God's friendship with us than ours with him, though both are important. We're going to see God's friendship through Jesus show up in these three ways. This is what friendship looks like according to Jesus in this passage. Jesus loves his friends. So there's this idea of love and affection. Jesus is loyal to his friends. There's this idea of like total commitment and faithfulness. And then there's this third, it's a picture of a particular aspect of intimacy, which is that Jesus lets his friends in on things. So Jesus loves his friends, Jesus is loyal to his friends, and Jesus lets his friends in on things. Now let me read from someone else who thought it most appropriate when we apply this text to hear God's words to us and not only to the disciples. Here is another who agrees with this perspective. He says this. This is A.W. Tozer. God's love tells us that he is friendly, and his word assures us that he is our friend and wants us to be his friends. Interesting. So God can be friendly towards us. He can act as a friend towards us even if we're not yet there with him. Right? Who have we recently seen this with in John? And what's right around the corner? Someone who Jesus is very friendly towards is acting in every way as a friend to, but it is not reciprocated. Judas! And it's not for Jesus' lack of love. It's not for his lack of loyalty and faithfulness. It's not for lack of his letting Judas in on things.